55 Bible.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admissions staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Many people believe our country is heading in a downward spiral, and a lot of people think the government is to blame. But Billy Graham said, first, maybe we need to look closer to home.
We backslide as individuals before we begin to decay as a nation. Fortunately, there is time to repair the breach. We are still on this side of judgment, though time is quickly passing by.
So, what can you do?
The greatest contribution you can make to your nation is to give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. God is sounding the warning. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation.
If you're ready to give your life and heart to Jesus, someone's ready to pray with you right now. Call 855-255-7729. That's 855-255-PRAY. We're here 24/7, every day of the year. 855-255-7729. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
The feeding of the 5,000 and Holy Week. What do they have in common?
True commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus.
It says in Mark 6, Jesus took that bread, he blessed it, and then he miraculously distributed it and shared it with 5,000 plus people. What does this have to do with Holy Week? Because at the Lord's Supper, the night before his betrayal, he did the same thing. He said, "This is my body broken for you." How beautiful that Christ's body was broken for us in our place so that it could be shared with us so that we could partake of the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He is the only bread that can truly satisfy. Have you turned to him? Have you tasted to see that the Lord is good? Look to him, and every time you take that communion, thank him for his body being broken for you and being shared with you. And then you go out and share that good news with someone this Holy Week.
True commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus. Available now in bookstores. Learn more at lastwordsofjesus.com.
Mission sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Good afternoon, and welcome to SWAT Radio on this Monday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. Doug and I here in the studio. In fact, we were just joined by one of our good buddies.
Well, the best burgers in town, no question.
Oh, yeah.
At Jumpin' Jack's House of Food, Belfort Road, right there by Wounded Warrior. They're open Monday through Friday. This is not a paid-for commercial. This is just me and Brad telling you we've eaten these burgers many times. I don't know what they put in them, but they are amazing.
So imagine you go in your backyard and your neighbor is grilling a burger. You know that smell, right? What is that? I don't know if it's the fat. I don't know if it's the red meat. Mm-hmm. There's just a smell about somebody cooking a burger outside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it tastes like, but they are so good. Anyway.
They are very good. Hey, if you missed last Thursday, Glenn Ellison, like Brad, you
Does
know
he
this
have any
guy.
Energy?
He knocked it out of the park. I got so much feedback on that interview. Jeremy, we're going to have to add that to our list of best of because it was so good. Glenn's been doing the Parent Help Center for a long time, helping parents with kids. It was really insightful. So thank you again, Glenn, for being our guest. And, you know, just a really, really great interview. If you want to go back and listen, just go to SWATradio.com and go to search and put in Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, Ellison, E-L-L-I-S-O-N, Also on Friday, we replay John Maisel. Every time I replay it, people want Is Jesus God booklets. Happy to send those out. I'll try to get those out this week. And speaking of, because I always have John around Easter, I like replaying him. How about the White House? You know, I mean, like, you know, and I know, we, you know, you and I were talking about trying to get to the text earlier. Yeah. This week, our text is on darkness. Boy, you talk about darkness.
Oh, man.
When the White House issues a proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility as if there's not enough already on our calendar. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've hijacked the rainbow, or at least attempted to. We need to take that back, by the way.
Amen.
The rainbow is God's promise.
Mm-hmm.
But for Easter Sunday, they're going to make that the proclamation. Wow.
Well, and you know, I'm sure you listened to Dr. Moeller this morning on the briefing. If you haven't listened to that, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we talked a little bit about, we don't want to spend too much time on cultural issues, but you can't avoid this one.
Well,
this
and it's much, darkness. It is just pure darkness. Yeah. I mean, there when you talk about one, the abomination was what it would be called to say that I am a man when biologically God made me a female, and to affirm a delusion for somebody, which is what it is. It is delusional. If you put that into any other realm and you try to say I'm this when you're biologically something else. And now they're trying to redefine biology, but it is awful. Greg Laurie, who's a evangelist out in California, he said this is a profound insult to the sincere beliefs of millions of Americans. We're not talking about a few. We're talking about millions on the holiest day. People, and reason people reverence this is because it's the day we celebrate the resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who came to give us hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost just like, you know what, we're just going to continue to be marginalizing the Christians. And even at the White House, they did this Easter egg thing. They said no religious symbols, which is crazy.
Yeah,
the whole point of Easter in our country, people have celebrated. And, you know, many people have said, Brad, for years, Easter was a pagan holiday. Well, the United States has now made it very pagan in every respect.
Absolutely. Well, to your point, what you brought out, which I was not aware of till this morning, is that the White House, if you were going to be a part of the Easter egg celebration, the Easter celebration, the Resurrection Sunday celebration at the White House, you could not bring eggs that had any kind of spiritual component to it. Does somebody need to clue the White House in as to what that was? I mean, good night. It is just complete darkness. And Biden, and again, we don't like to get into the politics of things, but this isn't about the politics. Well, this is about evil, and saying that he has always supported the Transgender Day of Visibility, or whatever you want to call it, as long as he's been in the White House. Well, hey, here's an opportunity for you to not only declare, but to actually move in a direction as it relates to what we're celebrating on Easter Sunday, to say, hey, we're gonna celebrate this transgender thing on another day, because this day certainly supersedes that day. Good night.
Yeah, it's he also made a proclamation, about for Christians of Resurrection Sunday, you know. But the thing is. Yeah, and I get people say, well, it falls on that day every year. All right, really, look through the calendar. I mean, they people who are LGBTQ plus alphabet, mafia people, they claim a whole month in June, and they're saying there's a whole month now in October. Like, how many? They're basically not going to be satisfied till we give them the whole year.
Yeah. Well, you were just having this conversation with Howdy about your son possibly going back overseas to serve our country. We give one day, Veterans Day or Memorial Day, 2 days even. But we've got the homosexual agenda gets an entire month.
A month, man. That is just absolutely insane. And then Biden began bragging about the Respect for Marriage Act, which is a joke because he's saying you can marry who you love, anybody you love. Okay. Is saying that transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. Let me ask you, Brad, how many transgender people do you remember prior to 1980?
Let me fast forward that by about 30 years. I can't remember a single transgender person before 2015.
Yeah, and that crazy. I mean, the first person on the national, I do remember. Do you remember the tennis player? There was one, the tennis player.
Riggs?
No. I thought there was a trans tennis player back in the maybe 70s or 80s. It was like one of the first, Renee Richards. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. This was back in the 70s because there was a male to female reassignment surgery. Hmm. I thought I remembered. Renee Rich, that's the first one. That was back in the 70s, but it was just one pretty much isolated one that you heard about. And then now it just continues to go and spiral. I call it the death spiral down. Now, we as a nation, when you got the White House who's lifting this up, I'm sorry.
I thought this was enlightening to some extent. ABC News White House spokesman Andrew Bates, speaking of Biden, said, as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. The White House spokesperson went on to say, and I quote, sadly, it's unsurprising politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's whole thing.
And then says President Biden says, Bates said, will never abuse his faith for political purposes or for profit. I mean, come on now. Do you think he's let's just talk about the Catholic faith. Do you think he's abused the Catholic faith?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, they came out and spoke out against it. They were saying he's just basically playing politics with it. But, Mueller made a point that I thought was really good. Have you ever seen a transgender and go, wow, that is a good looking woman?
Yeah.
Have you ever even wondered if it's really a woman? You can tell you look as much as they try to change the exterior, the maleness comes through because it's a God-designed part of who they are. And so it is. And now you got all, it's so crazy, all this stuff that's going on. And, everybody I'm talking to keeps saying, Jesus is coming back. Hmm. I mean, when you get this kind of level of proclamation, it's just our country. I just don't know that we can return from that, Brad. I think we've hit a tipping point.
Doesn't mean we fold up.
We keep
proclaiming the word of God.
Yes.
Speaking truth into the darkness. And that's what we're called to do.
Yeah. We keep speaking the truth in love. As the scriptures say, we speak the truth in love. And again, it's sad because a lot of times when you do that, you're marginalized. And again, we want to stress that for the people, not the politicians trying to use this, although we should be compassionate toward them, they're very misguided. But it does agitate you when you see them destroying the fabric of the values of our country. But for the people who are in these delusions, it's sad because they are they're basically held captive to the darkness, like we're going to be talking about this week as we look at the demoniac, because these people are really not held accountable. People aren't speaking the truth to them in love. People are affirming delusion to them. Mm-hmm. And that seems loving on the exterior, but that's the world's way.
It is the world's way. It is. I mean, I'm excited that we're going to dig into this text this week on darkness, because when you realize it, we were once in darkness. And by God's grace, he allowed the gospel to penetrate these ears, these eyes, and this hardened heart. And that's what we're dealing with in the culture today. It's a hardened, callous, dark heart.
Very much so. And Paul said, such were some of you, which means that even like in the Corinthian church, God delivered people out of this darkness, which, you know, he also writes about in Romans 1. The reason this darkness comes upon us is because we suppress the knowledge of God.
Well, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Yeah, it didn't. They're dark, and people don't like the light because they want darkness. Yep. They want to be able to do what they want to do. So it'll be a good text this week. We're going to be in Mark 5, 1 through 20, if you want to turn there in the break. It'll be a good text.
We're going to take a quick break here in just a minute. If you want to call this afternoon, always love getting your calls. 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us at ask@swatradio.com. ASK@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. Mark chapter 5.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. I thought I lost it there for a second. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call this afternoon, again, 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Love to take your calls. Love to take your questions and comments. Any feedback you can give us, we love to have it. If you're new to SWAT Radio, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5. Doug will kind of be unpacking it. We'll talk about just personal application of the text. You've got a guest coming on Thursday. Who do you got this week,
Doug? Oh, it's great. Nancy Piercy, Professor Nancy Piercy. She's also written a lot of books. She's been on a lot of different news programs talking about subjects. Professor Piercy comes from an atheist background. She was an atheist at one time, but she has become a believer. She's, you know, Christ got her and now is using her intellectual and writing ability to really address a lot of good subjects. One of her most recent books is a book called The Toxic War on Masculinity. And she's going to be our guest. You know, Eric Metaxas out of New York said that she's written the definitive book on the subject of masculinity for our time. She goes back, Brad. I'm about a third of the way through it. I'm trying to read it before she
comes on.
Remind
me, what's the name of the book?
It's called The Toxic War on Masculinity. And anyway, she basically takes us through in the book how we got to where we are. And it's fascinating because she brings in the Bible and philosophy and real data out in the world. And she basically takes you from where we were, and how God's people were and how important men were, and how they've been so marginalized now. Mm-hmm. And even our view of masculinity has been more shaped. Even for Christians, it's been more shaped by the culture than by what God had intended and the way he relayed out. So I'm really excited that she's going to be able to join us. That's Thursday, Professor Nancy Piercy. And the book, again, is called The Toxic War on Masculinity. A great read, really good blend. She goes in, even the whole subject of roles between men and women and how important that is. Mm. And, you read it. And you, at first, when you're reading it, you go, wait a minute, this lady's progressive, man. She's going egalitarian, but it's not. Hmm. It's not at all. It's very much biblical in that men and women are equally valued, but they function differently according to the roles God has given them. And when you understand the biblical roles and the equality of value, it is really good the way she lays it out. It's very helpful. And so if you're a woman, I think it'd be great to listen. And if a guy, it's great also to hear and get some understanding, because our view of this subject has been so shaped. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do pendulum swings to get back.
Yeah.
And so Nancy Piercy and The Toxic War of Masculinity, I think you'll really get encouraged.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And if you want to join us this week at the SWAT Bible studies. Again, SWAT radio came after the Bible studies had begun, years after. If you want to come join us in person as we open the Word together, go to SWATradio.com, click on the Meetings tab, and you'll see the various locations and the times that we meet. We would love to have you join us in person. For this week, we're in Mark chapter 5, and I'm excited to get into this text.
Oh yeah, it's a great text, and we say that every week. Oh,
well, that's true. Yes,
that's right. A great text because it's God's word, right?
That's right. I mean, exactly.
And so, as we go into the text this week, I just want to remind you that we've been working verse by verse from Mark 1:1 up to where we are now, beginning of chapter 5. And the key verse, which is, I call it the hermeneutical lens that we see it all, is verse 1 of Mark chapter 1, which says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word gospel is the word euangelion, which means a king has been crowned, a king has been coronated, or a king has been born. And when Mark wrote that, he was writing to the Romans, primarily the Christian Romans, to encourage them. And Mark is kind of laying out in the first chapter, as he shares that, when he says, through Jesus' own words, the kingdom is here. Repent, believe, and follow. That is the message, and Jesus' primary calling was to deliver and authenticate that message. And so as Jesus did that, He authenticated it with miracles. He healed sick people. He healed lepers. He healed blind people. He healed paralytics. And he was constantly challenging the religious leaders who were there, because these religious leaders had kind of lost their way. Mm-hmm. They really weren't, not all of them, but a lot of them were just doing religious duties. They didn't care about God's word. They didn't care about his people. And so he came and he says, I'll be the teacher. I will feed you because my shepherds aren't. It's what he says in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And so Jesus is on the scene. And we saw last week how he took his disciples. He's already chosen his 12. And remember, they went out on the lake last week. He said, let's go to the other side. And we saw a problem with their self-reliance. We saw how he provided, through the storm, a way of dealing with that self-reliance. And then the proof that he spoke, and the weather just stopped when he spoke. And he goes, I'm God. I mean, because only God can make the weather stop, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, no servant of God had ever done that before. But God was there in the flesh, and it terrified them. Well, this week, we see Jesus go to rescue a man on the other side. Remember, the other side, not just geographic. I mean, it was also cultural. It was also spiritual. This was a very pagan, dark area. Brad, you've been to India with me. It was very much like that.
Yeah.
Describe for our listeners what it was like going there the first time, getting off that plane into a country with 300 million idols.
Well, I'll never forget getting off that plane and seeing, first of all, guys with machine guns strapped to their back. Yeah. You kind of know maybe it's a little hostile over there. Yeah. You know what it is, Doug? It's oppressive.
Yeah.
The darkness is, it's weighty. You know what I mean? We're talking about the darkness of our culture here in the West. It's a totally different thing over there. At least in the West, we mask a lot of the darkness.
Yeah.
Over there, it's not masked.
We pretend to be spiritual with all the churches, but the bottom line is they're spiritual. They're just worshiping demons. That's what idols are.
Yeah. It's in a sense, well, it's hopeless. It's just, imagine the most hopeless situation you can find yourself in. Now, it wasn't hopeless for us, but the whole surroundings are hopeless.
Yeah, it is a dark place. And, you know, just like this place was, but what's so amazing about this place and this story is there's not another one like it in the Bible. I mean, where you see God confront not one demon, but thousands of demons in this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus not only rescues him, but then he commissions him as a missionary, the only missionary he sends to this pagan dark area at this time. And he's the first missionary Jesus sends out. He didn't even send the disciples out yet. They're still training. But this guy, he says, go tell people.
Hmm.
And we see the euangelion spread through this one formerly oppressed and demonic guy. It's a really fascinating story. And so I'm going to have you read Mark 5, 1 through 20. And then when we come back, we're going to look at these three kind of pegs to hang truths on from this text. One is, in this text, we see God reveal the destructive power of the darkness. And two, we see him also reveal the life-giving power of light. And then third, we see the two responses of mankind, or man, to the light. Mm-hmm. How do we respond to the light?
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll look at those three, but starting in Mark 5, 1, I think you have time to get through it.
Yeah, do I got time, Jeremy?
I think so.
Yeah, let's jump in here. Mark chapter 5, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." And so he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Verse 14, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. Verse 11, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And he was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them about how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. These are the very words of God. We're going to take a quick break. Hope you'll join us when we come back. We're going to be digging in here to this text, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Maryland Governor Westmore in a Fox News interview says the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse is disrupting the flow of goods through the port of Baltimore, which is one of the busiest in the nation.
This is not just impacting Maryland. This is impacting the farmer in Kentucky. It's impacting the auto dealer in Ohio. It's impacting the restaurant in Louisiana and in Tennessee. This is impacting the entire country.
So the U.S. Coast Guard is preparing a temporary alternate channel for commercially essential vessels near the fallen bridge. Officials describe the establishment of the temporary channel as part of a phased approach to opening the main one. Also at SRNnews.com, police say a man was killed, five other people injured, during a shooting inside an Asheville, Tennessee restaurant. The shooting, around 3 p.m. local time Sunday, began within minutes of the male suspect's arrival when the suspect and the man who did get into an argument that significantly escalated within moments. Police are searching for that suspect. In consumer news, correspondent Rita Foley reports on the latest gas prices nationwide.
Gas is about $3.53 a gallon. That's up about 20 cents in a month, but about the same as a week ago, says the AAA. Spokesman Andrew Gross says concern about Ukraine's war with Russia likely spiked oil prices recently. Highest gas prices now are in California. It's $5.10 a gallon there. The lowest prices are in parts of the South and Midwest. It's $3.07 in Mississippi, $3.15 in Kansas. I'm Rita Foley.
And on Wall Street, stocks have been wavering and are now lower. The Dow is losing 290 points. The NASDAQ, 25 points in the red. This is SRN News.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. Have you noticed how many people seem hopelessly preoccupied with a quest for personal identity and self-worth? That's sad, yet understandable. You see, God created us to bear His image and enjoy His fellowship forever. But sin has blinded unredeemed man to his true purpose, leaving him with an identity crisis of monumental proportions. However, a true sense of identity is the legacy of every Christian. It comes from knowing that before the world began, God set His love on you and personally selected you to be His child. So don't allow sin, Satan, or circumstances to rob you of your sense of identity. Instead, rejoice in knowing you belong to God Himself. This is John MacArthur praying you are continuing to be portraits of grace.
Expect a few delays because of a crash on I-10 westbound at the ramp from Chaffee Road. Also, there's an accident on the East Beltway, 295 southbound at the ramp to Atlantic Boulevard. And there's a broken down vehicle on the East Beltway, 295 northbound at Alta Drive, blocking the left lane. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 64. Tuesday, partly sunny, high 87. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Monday afternoon. Glad you have tuned in. And I just finished reading Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And we're going to jump right in because there's a lot to cover here. But I'll tell you what, I came out of that with some thinking again how often you and I have probably been through this text is so much of what we want to talk about in the week. Is just personal application.
There's a lot of it. I mean, especially when you start talking about darkness. But you know, just in our culture right now, let's talk about this guy for a second. This guy's an outcast. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, back in this day, they didn't have drugs to subdue people. They didn't know what to do with this guy. This guy was demon-possessed. He was so supernaturally strong that he could break chains and shackles. Hmm. Like, I mean, just imagine for a second how scary that would be. Because a guy like this who's demon-possessed would not, it would be like, you know, do you remember those old ministry guys that used to go around breaking chains, how big they were, how strong they were?
Wasn't that you? Weren't you on that circuit?
No, I didn't do that. But also imagine those guys, evil.
Being bent, out of their mind. Bent,
yeah, absolutely insane, mm-hmm. Because this guy was tormented. And you don't have to go very far, Brad, to look on the streets and you see people that are tormented. You see people, they resort to drugs, they resort to alcohol, and they're trying to escape the torment. And so this guy is a tragic figure. A lot of times we don't necessarily focus in on him like that. We just think, wow, he's a demon-possessed guy. He's scary. And those people on the street, I wonder if our hearts were more compassionate, would we pray for them mm-hmm. instead of go by them and think, well, they're there because of their own doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And granted, this guy was from a country that was dark, a country that worshiped idols. It was mm-hmm. a country plagued with darkness well before this guy was probably even born. In fact, we know it was because the people that migrated here migrated from the land of Canaan. This is over in the countryside called the Decapolis. And so as we look at this first area, this first little principle of the destructive power of darkness is what God's revealing. A lot of times we don't see the consequences of darkness. Mm. Satan never throws those up to us and says, okay, Brad, I want you to come and do this terrible thing and show you the consequences. What he says is, Brad, this is what would work for you. This will be good for you. You'll get benefits out of this. And it's all about Brad. It's very Hellenistic. Mm-hmm. Hellenistic worldview was about me. It wasn't about anybody. It wasn't about the community. In fact, in Nancy Piercy's book, talking about men, the men of old were in it for the common good. Mm-hmm. That they were driven by a value system that said, I have a responsibility for the good of the community.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I'm and most of them have 7 or 8 kids. They work together.
Yeah.
And they really cared about the community. Hmm. And so as we look at this, this destructive power of darkness, it says they came to the other side. It lists the Gerasenes. Or it talks about, you know, the Gerasenes. Matthew mentions it in his account as Gadara or the Gadarenes.
Gadarenes, yeah.
And, you know, some people say the Gergesa or Gerasa for the Gerasenes. It's a Gentile pagan area. And the reason there's a little bit of a difference in Matthew's account and these other accounts is imagine if somebody asked you, hey, where's the players? You would say Jacksonville.
Right.
I would say Ponte Vedra.
Mm-hmm.
One's just a smaller area that really identifies where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other is a bigger landmark area.
Yeah, North Jacksonville.
Yeah, so Gerasa or Gergesa is a village, whereas Gadara was a larger city, right? Yeah. But it's modern-day Kersey, and there were pig herders there. Now, pigs were the sacred animal for this whole area of the Decapolis. In other words, the pig was to these people what the lamb was to the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
It was their sacrificial animal to their deity. Now, we know their deity was an idol. It was satanic.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's not Yahweh is satanic.
Right.
So this was an area steeped in darkness, and it was called the Decapolis for 10. There was 9 cities on one side of the Jordan, and there was one on the west. You've actually been to the one on the west with me called Scythopolis.
Yep.
And many people believe that this whole area of the Decapolis was made up of people who migrated from Canaan. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations. And if you go back to Joshua 3:10, you can read about them. But even in Acts 13, Luke writes, after destroying the 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land, talking about the Jewish people, as an inheritance. So the Decapolis was an unclean area. It was steeped in idolatry, and that's where these people settled. Now, an interesting note here, in Mark 6, which we haven't got to yet, and we also read about it in Matthew, and you read about John, Jesus fed 5,000 people in the area of Capernaum. And how many baskets did they pick up?
Yeah, 12 baskets.
Representing the 12 tribes.
Yeah. Right.
Well, in Mark 7, he feeds 4,000 people in the area of the Decapolis,
mm-hmm.
this Gentile area.
And 7 baskets.
7 baskets for 7 nations.
Mm-hmm.
And what God is saying is, listen, my people are made up of Jews and Gentiles. Now, I know this was offensive to a lot of the Jews, but he's saying that my people are made up of Jewish people and Gentile people. And that's what I feed them both. I feed the Jews. I feed the Gentiles, because with Jesus, there is no Jew or Gentile. There's only me. I'm true Israel. He said, you're not just Israel because you came from Abraham. You're Israel because you believe in Jesus, is what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, verse 2, it says, and Jesus had stepped out of the boat. Immediately, it says, there met him a man from the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. So here's the scene. By the way, we didn't talk about this on air today, but I've thought about it a lot. You know, after the storm, the disciples were terrified. Don't you care? Don't you care?
Right.
All of a sudden, shh, right. And they see him quiet. And how do you think that boat ride went from the time that happened until they got to the land over there?
Yeah.
Think it was quiet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even old Peter, who usually was never at a loss for words, was probably like, he didn't know what to say.
That'll shut you up real quick.
And they get there and notice it doesn't say anything about the disciples getting out. In fact, in all three accounts, there's no mention of the disciples. It's only Jesus. Jesus gets out of the boat and immediately this guy, Matthew says it's two guys, come running down from the tombs and they confront him. And as always, they were crazy men. Have you ever seen crazy? I mean, really crazy people, like people that are, you know, are demonically possessed or people that are just out of their mind. If you come towards them or get near them, they're going to run towards you for whatever reason, right? And so these guys ran, and it says a man with an unclean spirit. This was a demon-possessed man. And it says he lived among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with a chain. He'd broken out of all of them. So think about what that's saying about this guy. This guy had supernatural strength, not from God, but from the enemy. And remember, before drugs, all you could do was isolate somebody.
Yeah.
And so here he's isolated. He's isolated by himself, and he sees Jesus right there. It said he has no night. I mean, he's no sleep. He's night and day. He's restless. He's crying out because he's tormented. He's actually cutting himself with stones. This is a man who wanted to die. He was in a living hell. And so step back for a second. What did darkness do for this guy? It did nothing good.
Mm-hmm.
It brought him. Luke said he was naked for a long time. That's an allusion to his perversion. He was homeless. He lived among the dead. He's a dead guy living among the dead. He was uncontrollably violent. Think of a John Wayne Gacy, a Charles Manson, just a psychopath.
Sociopath.
And he was suicidal. He was self-destructive and hopeless. This is the destructive power of darkness. And you know, Brad, I know you've talked to a lot of guys and we got to go to break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the darkness and how we don't see it.
The enemy
just puts it behind a facade that makes it look desirable, but it's death. It is death.
Hey, glad you tuned in. Call us at 844-777-7928. We'll take your calls. And you want to email us at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. 91 FM. The truth.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite. We'll all never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. Cause I'm just a nobody.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call in, the number's 844-777-7928. 888-SWAT-28. Again, email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. You know, Doug, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, this is such a great, very familiar text for a lot of those who've been in the church, been in Bible studies. We're familiar with the demon-possessed. Obviously, Jesus cast out demons prior to this guy, but this was a pretty unique situation in that, you know, to piggyback on what you said going into the break, do we view the world we're living in as darkness? But we're surrounded by darkness.
Well, absolutely. And Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so often, I remember having a conversation with a guy years and years ago. This was probably 20 years ago. And the guy had had an affair. And he had had an affair with a very, very attractive lady. And this guy was very, I don't even know how to say it, by his own admission. He said, you know, why in a world would a lady this attractive want to have an affair with me? They were both married. And I told him, it's not about the looks. I mean, Satan can do anything he wants. He wants you. He wants you to come in and give in to what is darkness. And it doesn't seem like darkness because this guy had been struggling in his marriage. He had felt like, you know, he and his wife had gotten very distant. She wasn't meeting his physical needs. He wasn't meeting her emotional needs. And the bottom line is, it was satanic. It always is. Satan roars, and he uses anybody. He can use anybody. He can manipulate people. And, you know, we see it all the time, but we don't see it as darkness. We have this Hellenistic view, man, I need to get my needs met. And that's the way the Decapolis was. It was all about them. And here this guy was a part of this culture that got him to a place he was possessed by thousands of demons.
It was awful. I think it's interesting. Obviously, Matthew and Luke specifically speak of two men, Mark of one, and Mark stresses this man's great physical strength that had progressively increased, evidently due to the demons' increasing hold on him. And nothing, says nothing could restrain him. And yet the man was miserable in his condition. You know, you think about sin. Sin gets its grip on us, and it will just consume us. And yet, it will leave you miserable. You know, you think about guys. Even in our own life, even in our own personal life, you look at the sin that can get a grip on you. And it can overpower you quickly.
Well, it will take you to a place of darkness. And again, what did darkness bring to this guy? Naked, which is sexually perverted, homeless, living among tombs. Nobody. He was a sociopath, a psychopath. He was a loner, suicidal, self-destructive. And you know, when you think about it, like, that's where sin will lead you. And by sin, I mean this practice of being in it. This guy was in darkness. And a lot of believers, I mean, not believers, people before Christ. This is what when you talk about people before Christ, that they don't see. All they see is getting needs met, but they do it in their own way. They don't trust God. And that's why even this whole transgender thing is so sad, because people don't see it as darkness. They feel like they're just, I'm meeting my need to be expressive. I can be whoever I want to be.
Like, what's wrong with that?
Yes.
You know, what is, love that quote, sin will take you farther than you want to go.
I was just thinking about that.
Keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay.
Yeah. And remembering, too, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Paul says, but against the rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. So a lot of people wander around in our world, and they, like, even, let's say me and you. Let's say for some reason you just went on a tear. I don't know what it is, or I went on a tear against you. Our first response is Doug or Brad or our wives or our kids. We don't realize how the enemy and demonic forces manipulate and act. Now, listen, they participate. I'm not saying that people aren't, you can't do like old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. You can't say that, right? They're responsible. But it's a spiritual battle.
Yes. Yep.
And that's why Paul says you got to take up the armor. You got to take up the shield of faith, the belt of truth. You got to have faith. And so when you pray, I can't remember if it's Tozier said this, but when you pray, Satan trembles because you're going to the one that can crush him.
Yeah.
Get away from my servant. Now, you can do this to Job, but you can't do this. God is the one who is over everything. How often is it, just like the disciples were so self-reliant, when something bad happens, our immediate response is, I'm going to take care of this, instead of going to the one who has the authority to banish away any spiritual demonic force there. That's so available to us as believers. Now, for the unbeliever out there, they don't have that. That's why we're here, to take that light to them. That's why Jesus said, hey, I got to go. I got to go to the other side.
Well, I was thinking about just the deliberate method of Jesus. We even talked about this a little bit last week, when you remember where Jesus confronts the disciples there in Caesarea Philippi, and having been there and realizing just what a dark place that was. He says, who do you say that I am? Or who do people say that I am? And Jesus, Peter says, you're the rock. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Therefore, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He talked about the offensive approach to this. Jesus goes from one side to the other. He takes him to the other side. It was deliberately going into the darkness. And I got to tell you, Doug, I like my little holy huddle, my good buddies that know the word, and we love to talk about the things of God. But am I deliberately going to dark places? Not for the sake of hanging out with dark people in darkness, but because that's where the light needs to go.
And that's where we see Jesus going, our leader. He goes, he's very proactive. He's going into it because this guy's there. By the way, Brad, this guy tried to commit suicide. He was trying to cut himself. He was uncontrollably violent. And one of the most encouraging things about this passage to me is this guy is in the middle of a hellhole. He's in the middle of a place that's so dark, millions of worshiping idol people. He was one of them. And now he's possessed by thousands. Could anything be worse than being possessed by thousands of demons? Mm-mm. Is there anything that you, I mean, I'm serious, anything? I don't think there could be anything worse than that. He was tormented.
Right.
And the demons, all he wanted to do was take his own life, which Satan came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wanted to destroy this man, but he couldn't. He couldn't. As long as God had him, he could not take his life, because this was God's man. And God said, my son has come for this guy, and this guy is going to be his emissary. This guy is going to be his ambassador. And so he redeemed him, and he became one of the ones that Paul talks about in Corinthians, such were some of you. And I love 1 John 3:8.